I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. Lighthouse is celebrating 25 years in business and just entering our 12th year of doing open line programs. We have a few exciting features that have been added to our website. We have a brand new website, and it's all launched, and you can always take a look at that, and you'll find some new and exciting things on it. Also, you'll want to go to the publication tab. It has articles from the last 25 years on most topics you can think of that you might need in your business, and also we have past events from our open line programs too. Our third book, Cracking the Cracking the High Performance Team Code, is now available, and we also offer remote lunchtime workshops such as stress and time management, leadership, and mentoring workshops. Our topic today is an important one for most organizations: how to keep salespeople positive and focused during the pandemic. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. I'll be hosting our program today. We have just a few housekeeping items, then we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the very first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement: bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments and raising the hiring bar and helping teams to develop themselves further from a communication standpoint. We also assist companies with a variety of services, including skills testing, 360s, interpersonal coaching, team building, stress and time management workshops, and much, much more. We also have a program that you'll want to consider for your employees. We call it a wellness assistance program. It's very similar to an EAP program, but it doesn't have any monthly fees to it. Matter of fact, next month we're going to be doing a special open line program where you'll get to experience exercising right at your desk, whether you're at home or on the road or sitting in an office building. You'll get to experience the power of having that type of program, the wellness assistance program, available to your employees. We do only have a limited amount of space of 250 people, so you can invite your staff members, invite the entire company, but it is limited, so you'll want to sign up as soon as possible. We'll send invites out sometime next month. Our open line programs topics are in response to numbers of calls that we get from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that organizations are facing today. So if you have a topic that you'd like us to address, please send it to us, and we'll work really hard to find an expert in that area. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible, so please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're also going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guest. So write down some questions during the program if you want to wait and hold off until the very end. I want to introduce a very close friend, colleague, member of the Lighthouse Consulting team, and he's just a very cool guy, Patrick McClure. He's a master sales coach and expert in selling across generations. Over the past 30 years, Patrick has trained salespeople and managers to drive breakthrough sales results using innovative and practical techniques. He has a knack for reducing the most complex problems to utter simplicity and showing his audience exactly how to start winning new clients. During his corporate career, Pat sold over $250 million worth of products and services at corporate giants such as IBM, Hitachi Data Systems, EDS, and Digital Equipment. As an author of three books on selling, Pat passionately and patiently serves up his wisdom to readers, clients, and audiences, and as a senior sales consultant for Lighthouse Consulting Services, he caters to both to small business and large firms that are closely held businesses. We're going to get a lot out today, so you'll want to make a lot of notes. Before Pat starts the program, I also wanted to let you know that next week we have a panel discussion, laying people off from an HR perspective and outplacement for senior and general staff. That'll be a very interesting program. So, Pat, it's all yours, and welcome back.
Okay. Thank you, Dana. I think this is the second or third time that I've done the Open Line program, and it's always great to be on the line with you and talking to all of your clients and your customers. I was interested in the Lighthouse Wellness Exercise Program, if you want to sign me up. If I do that, chances are I'll start breaking things here in the office. I hope they do a good job on that. So welcome, everyone. Our topic today is how to keep salespeople positive and focused during the pandemic. Now, don't worry if you're not a salesperson, because we're going to be talking about issues and strategies and directions and things that you can do, practical lessons that apply to not only salespeople, but also business development, marketing, HR, personnel, accountants, CEOs, whoever exists in the business world, because guess what? We're all struggling through a cataclysmic event that has never happened before, a global pandemic. And the biggest challenge, one of the biggest challenges I have working with my clients is, how do we stay focused? There is so much coming at us. How do we continue to stay focused? So, Ellen, if you could move to the next slide, please. We're going to be talking about today's challenges. Now, I already mentioned one, which is obviously we're going through a pandemic, and that consumes a huge amount of our attention units. And so we have to develop the skill to be able to set that aside and still get our work done. Today's challenges from a business standpoint, obviously we are going through information overload. There is an unbelievable amount of information that comes to us, not only emails, but voicemails, phone calls, interruptions. We've got social media postings. We've got introductions. There's just a huge amount of information. I read somewhere that the average CEO gets something like over 200 emails in one day, and the vast majority of those aren't even looked at. So we're in an information overload. Our challenge is to brand and influence correctly and simply. There's a difficulty, I speak on this also, difficulty connecting across the four major generations or cohorts that exist in the world today, the baby boomers, the Gen X, the millennials, and the Gen Z. There's more information, by the way, on my website. I've written several papers on that, so you can go and take a look at that if you're interested in finding out more about how to connect across the generations. The point number four and point number five are probably the biggest challenges we have. How do we stay positive during this pandemic? And additionally, how do we learn to continue to sell and influence virtually from our remote offices? How do we go digital? Okay, Ellen, next slide, please. I recently listened to an interview with Michael Dell, the founder and owner of Dell Computers, and he's one of those businesses that is not being impacted negatively by the global pandemic. His company is being affected positively because, guess what? More and more computers are needed because more and more people are remote. He has a quote. I thought it was interesting. I wrote it down. How do you use this, referring to the pandemic, how do you use this as an opportunity? He said, don't just play defense. So for all of you listening, what we're looking at, take a look at what you're going through. Take a look at the global pandemic and try and view it from a different lens. Try and view it from the rose-colored lenses. Try and say, okay, out of this, you know, pandemic and all the stress and everything that's changed, where's the opportunity? Where's the silver lining? And what we're talking about here is your invisible edge. Every person has several different edges. And by that I mean is that's something unique about you, something you've learned that really characterizes why you are so successful. And I'll give you some examples. Next slide, please. You're going to see four figures on the slides, some sports figures, some business figures. Up on the top left, that's Wayne Gretzky. For those of you that live in Southern California, you're very familiar with him from playing on the Kings. He retired a few years back, but he's probably the most successful hockey player that we've ever had. He has a quote. He said, "I skate to where the puck is going, not to where it's been." So Wayne Gretzky was an expert in understanding the game so well that he could go to where the puck was going to be, not where it is right now. That was one of his edges. That's one of the reasons why he was so astonishingly effective. Tiger Woods, below there, probably the greatest golfer in the world today, won the Masters last year. He's won something like 87 major PGA golf tournaments. His quote is, "My mind is my biggest asset. I expect to win every tournament I play." I expect to win every tournament I play. No other golfer that I've ever heard, and I'm an avid golfer, no other golfer that I've ever heard has said that. He expects to win every tournament I play. He has an edge. So when he enters a tournament, he's not trying to play good. He's not trying to win a little bit of money. He's not trying to compete. When the announcers ask him, "Well, how are you going to do tomorrow?" He says, "Well, I think I'm going to win." And all the other golfers, they say, "Well, I'm going to compete. I'm going to do the best I can." That's not Tiger. He has a different edge. He expects. He's so astonishingly effective, he expects to win.
And that's regardless of the conditions, correct?
I'm sorry?
That's regardless of the conditions on the golf course. He's focused.
He's focused. He's absolutely there. And so his mindset is part of his invisible edge. You take a look at Tom Brady, probably the most successful pro football quarterback in the world. He's now 42 years old, just left the Patriots. I think he went to, some team in Florida. But he practices a martial arts called Tai Chi every day. He practices yoga and Tai Chi every day. And he's talked about his ability to stand and breathe correctly. And how he does that is one of his edges. That's how he's able to stay so young and so fluid and so flexible. And then outside of the sports world, you've got Warren Buffett up on the top right. I don't know whether you knew this, but Warren Buffett is worth currently, well, actually before the big crash we had with the coronavirus, his net worth was $89.4 billion.
Wow.
He could actually buy several countries in the world if he wanted to. His quote is, "There seems to be some perverse human characteristic that likes to make easy things difficult." Think about that. Easy things difficult. To Warren Buffett, he is so effective at what he does that he takes the world of finance and investing. To him, it's easy. And he maintains that most people, instead of taking things easy, applying the KISS principle, they make things complex. And that's his edge. His edge is he sees things differently. So there's an example. When I talk about the invisible edge, the edge people have, that's what we're talking about. And hopefully in what we're talking about today, we're going to help you to build your invisible edge or reinforce the one you've already got. So can we get to the next slide, please, Ellen? Okay. Top right. The businessman is looking at himself in the mirror. Well, that's the key. Your invisible edge, by the way, if you haven't figured that out, it's you. It's your ability, your viewpoint, what you've learned, what you've mastered, the skills that you have. He's looking at himself. Most people look outside themselves, and they say, "Well, I need an edge. I need help from this. I need help from there. I need blah, 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 blah." Your edge is yourself. Below that, you've got the person who is working remotely. And it is possible to take your invisible edge, whatever that is, and to broadcast that over the Internet and to connect with people. That's a skill that people have. So I call it magic because when you develop this X factor, you're able to do that. One of the things that I encourage people to do these days in sales is to stay connected. And stay, you know, up to speed with your existing clients and your prospects. And the way you do that is by constant communication. And that's an edge that salespeople have when they want to use that. So let's delve more, a little bit more into this. So if we get to the next screen. Okay, I'm going to draw some lessons from some ancient arts. There's a quote here by Aristotle and a quote by Emmett Fox. You know, it's the old story about what came first, the chicken or the egg. So everybody knows, if you've looked at the idea of manifestation, is that the thoughts that we have and the ideas that we have and our attitude has a lot to do with what actually happens. There's a quote there from Emmett Fox, and it talks about all the things that we're dealing with come about as a result of our thoughts, and our thoughts actually manifest the reality that we deal with. There's another side to it, which is, where do these thoughts come from? Well, these thoughts come from doingness. So as we practice, as we do things, we learn, and as we learn, we develop insights. So both of these actually come together. The thoughts and the insights that we have manifest, but the way that we get to those thoughts, the way that we get to those breakthrough perceptions is by doing and practicing. And so this is a core thing that I'm going to talk about, because this directly relates. If we take a look at thoughts create reality, the common thing is, and I can give you an example of this, I have proven in my sales training, I do a lot of work with people that do work over the phone, telemarketing, teleselling. And I've proven that the attitude of the person making the phone call determines the result. If the person picking up the phone call has a positive mental attitude and a cheerful voice and a professional voice, and they dial the number, okay, the chances of having somebody at the other end pick it up and answer dramatically increased by a factor of 3 to 5%. I mean, 3 to 500%. And I've actually proven this. I've taken people and had groups of telemarketers calling on a list, and groups of people calling on another list, and comparing the results. And the difference is, the person who succeeds is the person that knows that their phone call will be answered and they're excited about it. And so the attitude of the person that's making the phone calls actually creates a lot of the result. And I can give you example after example. I don't need to beat it into the death, but the idea is, in sales, a lot of what happens is created by your attitude and your mental perception.
Pat,
okay.
A question came in.
Sure.
That their salespeople are exhausted and down because when they call, I'm paraphrasing, because when they call up clients currently, they're saying, call me back in a couple of months when things have settled down. How do you keep them bolstered up, or are you going to be addressing that?
I'm going to get into that a little bit more, but the fact of the matter is, because we're in a global pandemic, when you call people, in addition to the normal distractions people have and the difficulty getting through to them, you've got people that probably 40 to 50% of their mental, you know, attention units are locked away, worried about this pandemic, whether it's them or their family or their father, or, you know, worried about it. And unfortunately, the media, 99% of everything that you hear or read reinforces this negativity, or the anxiety, or the problem. And so your challenge is to get through that. The winning strategy, and I'll talk about this a little bit more, is to be authentic and be sincere. And this, unfortunately, right now, for the next month or so, is not a good time to sell anything. This is a good time to build relationships. If the person, and also encourage people to buy if they need something. Part of the large part of selling is to lead people into that direction. But right now, if you call somebody up and you go, oh, I've got a great thing and I want to sell, people are too distracted. So there's an artful way of getting to that, and also using the phone is problematic for most people. So I'll get into that more.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. Thank you. Should we go to the next slide?
Next slide, please.
Okay.
Okay. So I talked about the ability to learn something. I talked about skill that develops out of practice and practice and practice. There's a great TED Talk by Amy Cuddy, Fake It Until You Make It. And what she's referring to there is practice and practice and practice to almost convince yourself that you can achieve that. And an example of this is the figure skater in the Olympics. And you see here a figure skater from 2018 that is falling. And I put that up there intentionally because when we watch the Olympic figure skaters, we watch some beautiful moves, very graceful, and they land the triple salchow or the quadruple trip, flip or whatever, and we wonder, we marvel at the grace and the skill, okay? What we don't see is the 10,000 times that they've done that exact move and they fell, and they got up and they did it again, and they fell, and they got up again, and they did it again, and they fell. And so what we focus on is the result, but we don't often appreciate the fact that repetitive motions again and again and again and again gave them that perception. And there's a term here called the zone. The zone is the inspiration, the ideas, the breakthrough perception that people get to suddenly know how they do this. And the only way to get to that is by repetitive motion. Doing, 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 and this leads to insights. This leads into realizations on how to do it. Wayne Gretzky talked about I skate to where the puck is. Tiger Woods talks about I expect to win every tournament that I enter. Well, he didn't get that. He just didn't suddenly make that up. You know, he hit thousands of golf balls day after day after day after day after day until one day he said, you know, I think I can win. And then he went out and won, and it translated into, I will win. Well, that came about as practice and practice and practice. Next slide, please. One of the arts that I have practiced in parallel with my sales career is the martial arts. I'm a practitioner of Tai Chi and Qigong. These are the arts that have gone back, the roots of Qigong go back 3,000 years, right? You skip one, please. Back one. And so the roots go back about 3,000 years, and one of the cores of martial arts is the physical activity, the physical training you do, which is called Jing in Chinese, leads to the ability to work with Qi, right, which is the Qi in Tai Chi and Qigong. Leads to an energy, and then that leads to higher consciousness. So without getting too deep into the metaphysical side, what we're dealing with here is the amount of practice that you do, and you do it correctly, leads to more energy, and that leads to higher levels of awareness. Next slide, please. So I thought I'd have fun with this. When I do sales training and coaching, I blend in some of these concepts from the East. And one of the martial artists that I studied years ago, he died unfortunately in the 70s, is the legendary martial artist Bruce Lee. And Bruce Lee, if you can look at his movies, he had a movie called Enter the Dragon. He was so astonishingly effective that I think the word is that he competed a number of times and he never lost. He's also a film star. He's, you know, and he has a number of records that he's created. He has the fastest striking speed of any other martial artist that's ever been known. He could actually, in his prime, he could strike from 3 feet away in 5/100ths of a second. He was that fast. His kicks were so powerful that he could kick one of those big weight bags, 200-pound bag. He could kick it, and he could kick it to the ceiling. So what we're dealing with here is a gentleman who was able to train his body to accomplish extraordinary things. Well, as a result of that, he was also to develop extraordinary insights. And so what I've done is I've taken four of his major insights, and I'm going to relate them directly to selling. And I'm going to give you these insights because they apply directly to sales, also to management, sales management, and also to CEOs. And I'll give you practices that go with these. So next slide, please. Okay. The first lesson is create a void. Now, in martial arts, it's important in martial arts that if you're in a competition or in a, you know, if you're competing with somebody, to establish your stance, relax, kind of clear your mind, become in the void, and see and perceive what happens, rather than just jump right in, because your ability to do that allows you to watch what the other person is doing and perceive and redirect. Now, this requires that you kind of empty your mind and become silent. Empty your mind before it was almost like water. Now, this is a martial arts lesson, but it applies directly into sales, and I'll tell you exactly why. I've trained thousands of salespeople, and most of them talk way too much, and they listen not enough. So the typical salesperson who has not received a number of training or coaching will go out on a sales call and they'll show up and vomit. It's called show up and throw up. They will show up and they are so eager and so enthusiastic that they want to tell the person they're talking to as much as possible about their product or their service, without thinking that the first thing they have to do is ask an intelligent question, go silent, and listen. In other words, don't stick your foot into the water until you know whether it's hot or it's cold. You have to, and then also if you listen and you listen correctly, the person you're dealing with that you're trying to sell will tell you virtually everything that you need to know in order to be able to effectively sell to them your product, assuming it's a good fit. So this principle that's used in martial arts, which is create a void, it's basically empty your mind. Another example, you can't teach anybody anything about a subject if they've already convinced themselves that they know everything that there is to know, because the cup is already full. So if the cup is already full, you can't put anything else in. So the principle here is in sales, you need to ask an intelligent question and then be silent and invite the other person to talk and invite the other person to participate. And
so in this environment of the pandemic, so would a possible question would be, hey, assuming they know each other, the salesperson and the client, hey, Joe, I just thought I would just check in to see how things are going with all this craziness out there. How you doing?
That would be a good way to start. The other thing would be, how you doing, what's going on? And, of course, what happens, unfortunately, is we ask this, how are you doing, or how are you, or what's up, or whatever, and we don't say it correctly. We don't say it with sincerity. We say it as if it's just off the cuff, okay? So when you do reach somebody, and by the way, the phone is only one method of connecting with people. There are multiple methods, and right now, depending upon the person you're talking to, the phone might not be the most effective. And so what I like to find out is, okay, how has your business changed, you know, with all the recent events? People love to talk about their businesses. They love to talk about, and they'll say, oh, my God, we're having a problem here, 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 or we're going crazy with business or things. What people like to talk about is what has changed as a result. The other thing is people like to talk about the challenges that they're dealing with. So if you're talking to somebody, you say, well, what are the challenges you're dealing with blah, 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 blah. Now, and the other thing is what opportunities do you see? Are there any opportunities? Is there any silver lining, right? And so business owners and executives will talk about that. If you're dealing with a sales manager, you can ask them, well, how have sales changed? What are you doing that's effective? What are you doing that's not effective? What do you need help with? What are your challenges? And those kind of questions are, and said earnestly and said sincerely, will prompt a lot of people discussing, a lot of talk. Make sense? Okay.
That's great. Thank you.
Next slide, please. Okay, so once you've created a void, I'm going to tell you to do something that you may not believe. I'm going to tell you to become telepathic. Most of us know that we have this innate sixth sense. We kind of, if we really, really focus, we can kind of put ourselves in the other person's place and understand where they're coming from. Some of us that are really, really finely tuned can almost think about, we can almost feel what the other person is thinking. So when I say become telepathic, I would like you to see the world through their eyes. Authentic and sincere, right? And the other side is accept them for what they are, okay? So what that means is if you're meeting with somebody that is a prospect, you need to, first of all, ask questions, you know, create the void. Listen to what they say and don't judge it. Don't reject it. Accept what they're saying and ask for more. The more sincere you are, the more acceptance that you have, the more of this information that they will tell you. A large part of selling, and this is what relates back to what I said earlier, Dana, a large part of selling is taking the appropriate step at the appropriate time. In other words, right step, right time. So the time to sell is not when you're first meeting with somebody or you're learning about their challenges, right? This time to sell is once you have a very, very good understanding of that person or that company, the challenges they're dealing with, and an understanding that there might be a fit between what their problem is and their challenge is. There might be a fit between that and what you have to offer. Until you develop that understanding, that deep understanding of what they really need, you don't have any business trying to sell anything. It's the wrong step. So you have to take sales the right step at the right time. Okay, next slide. And again, when this telepathic, it very much relates to martial arts. The top martial artists will know in advance pretty much when there's a blow or a movement coming, and they'll be able to take that energy and redirect it. So that's how they use that. Okay. Aim past your target. Now, this is a hidden little gem. Years ago, I worked at a company called Digital Equipment, and I was mentored by this lady, this very, very nice lady. Her name was Joyce, and she was one of the most effective salespeople, one of the most award-winning salespeople that Digital Equipment had, and she called Don Banks. And every year, they would give her a new target. And every year she would overachieve her target and she would win what they call DEC 100 or Decathlon every year. And it didn't matter what accounts they put her on or what budget they gave her. It was astonishing. People sometimes would hit their goal 2 or 3 years out of the time. She did it every single time. So I asked her one time, I said, Debbie, I said, what is your trick? What is your edge? How do you do this? And she said, whatever target management gives me, I always double it. And I said, wow. So she was always had her eye focused on overachieving. So if she was given a target of $2 million, right, in her mind, she would give herself the target of $4 million. That meant that when she was successful, she would go after her own target. And even if she only got 50% of her target, she would still overachieve what the company wanted. So there's a classic example of aiming past the target. Don't ever take a target and say, that's what I'm going for. Take the target and then increase it to whatever you're comfortable for, 125, 150, whatever it is. If your target is to make 10 phone calls or write 10 memos or whatever, attend 10 meetings, try and go to 12, right? Try and make 15 phone calls. In other words, set your target higher and then overachieve. And if you do that, you aim past your target. Now, the principle here is one of the things that Bruce Lee was known for is what's called the one-inch punch. And I've actually seen videos of this. He could actually hold his hand an inch away from a two-inch thick board, and he could break that board from an inch away. And no one else has ever been able to do that as effectively as he has. And it's not tricks. He's actually able to generate that power and that energy from one inch away. Well, they asked him, how do you do that? And he says, I don't aim for 1 inch. I aim for 3 feet. My aim is to go way past that board. So I extracted that as a lesson for you. When you're setting targets and goals, aim past the target, right? Rather than saying, I'm just going to, you know, buy a car. Why not buy a very expensive car? When you're talking about, bringing on 5 new customers next year, why don't you set the target of 10 new customers? And see, human beings have the ability to do so much more than we already do. And unfortunately, a lot of times we set our targets too low. And this whole precept is aim past your targets. Okay, next slide. This is a core concept that I've had in my sales training practically since the beginning. And it appears in my first book, Precision Selling, and it came in my second book, which was Find Lost Revenue. Let them buy. The standard approach to sales is flawed. Most people think sales is about, telling somebody about what you make or produce, your product or your service, and convincing them to buy. I maintain that it's actually the reverse. I maintain that we need to let them buy. They already want to buy. If there's a good match between their needs and your product, they already want to buy. There are millions of people out there that would love to buy your product. The challenge is to find them. But once you find them, let them buy. Don't stop them. Okay? And there's some other messages here. One is use their energy. Okay? So if you ask questions and you let them talk, they're going to get excited and they're going to get energetic and they're going to turn around after you've listened to them for a while and they're going to say, well, so what are you here for? Or what are you talking about? Or what are you here to sell me? Right? I've actually had that question dozens and dozens of times because you took the time to listen to them, accepted what they said, asked intelligent questions, and had a good conversation. And at some point, it turns. Now, they're using their energy to buy. And also, this is the point where you go with the flow. Go with the flow. Let them go in a certain direction. So you may have 10 products that you'd like to tell them about. And you find out they're really only interested in one of the products. Well, let them go in that direction, right? Let them buy that product. Don't overwhelm them with trying to sell them a bunch of other stuff. Appropriate stuff at the right time. If they're ready to buy something, let them go. Now, for example, one of the best sales processes that are being used right now with Gen X and with millennials is give it away for free. In other words, try it out at no risk. Salesforce.com, for instance, probably the best customer relationship management system in the world. Actually, they're the largest, okay? They will give you a free trial. Well, most other CRM systems will also give you a free trial. Zoho comes to mind. And right now, Zoom, all kinds of people are using Zoom for meetings, because you can do that over the internet. Well, guess what? Zoom has a free version. You sign up for the free version of Zoom, and you can do meetings over the internet for 40 minutes for free. Well, at a certain point, you're going to realize, I need more than that. I just upgraded my Zoom because I was doing so many meetings, and then a couple of them started running over. And I said, well, heck, for $15 a month, it's a no-brainer. Well, guess what? I was going with the flow. And they actually used my energy to close that sale by giving me a great product that I wanted more of. So going with the flow. And the other thing is stop resisting. This is along the lines of letting them buy. One of the biggest mistakes people have in objection handling is somebody brings up an objection and you get all upset and you resist it. Well, somebody says, I can't buy it right now because of blah, 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 right? You don't come back and say, of course you can buy it now, right? That's contradicting them and resisting them. So you come back and you say, very interesting. So tell me more about that. So you go with the flow, go with their energy, and let them tell you more about their objection and why that's important and blah, 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 blah. And at a certain point, they'll run out of things to say, and a lot of times that objection just goes away. But it doesn't go away if you resist it. And so the whole idea of letting them buy is based around using their energy, going in slow, and stop resisting. And so, Dana, you and I talked about this with the area of letting them buy, and this whole area of objection handling and timing, right? This is the perfect time to talk about. That's where sales training comes in. I do sales training and coaching, and I do a lot of that. But the idea here is that salespeople are losing business right, left, and center by taking the wrong step, by not letting their customers buy, by not listening to their customers, and by preventing their customers from buying. And what's interesting about this, it's kind of invisible, is these are habit patterns that salespeople have used and that are part of their nature that need to be trained out. I've actually gone on sales calls with salespeople, and I've trained them on listening. And then I go out on a sales call, and I find out that the person didn't listen at all. And so then I have to step back and I have to say, well, what part of listening didn't you get? Let's go over this again. Let me show you a different way of doing it, right? And so that's where sales training and coaching comes in, because oftentimes people have habit patterns that they're doing that they're just unaware of how that's preventing them from closing business.
And this is a great time, I think, during the pandemic to help your salespeople to sharpen their selling skills. And one place to begin would be to share this program with your sales team and then talk about it. And then if you have additional questions on how to move forward, let's say someone's getting stuck, you could always call Pat up. He'll share some ideas. If you want to go further with him, then we can always arrange for a program to be installed. But this is a great time to sharpen their skills.
Super. Okay, so let me just recap the four major lessons here on the idea of selling like Bruce Lee. Number one, create a void. You have to open it up for your prospect or your customer to talk. And if you're talking all the time, they can't say anything. And not only that, if they say anything, you're not going to listen to it anyway because you're so busy talking or thinking about what you want to say, you're not going to have any attention to listen to them. So you must create a void. You must become slightly telepathic. In other words, you need to research. Constantly I find this, if you want to make good progress with a prospect, you need to understand their company. I always research whoever I'm going to be talking with on Google or on LinkedIn, and I find out as much as possible about their company and that person and their challenges. And I find that out in advance before I first meet with them. So I've already understand them, and I know where they're coming from quite a bit. And I also, from that, I can come up with some good questions. If I meet with them and I say, well, you know, I read your annual report and it looks like you just doubled your sales force in India. What's happening with that? And people love to talk about their company. So do your research. Aim past your targets. If you're giving yourself targets or somebody else is, increase those targets because you are far more capable than you're giving yourself the benefit of. And then finally, let them buy. If you do sales correctly means that people are going to be coming to you wanting to buy from you. But if you prevent them from buying, or you object to them, or you don't listen, or you contradict them, or you don't go with the flow, they're not going to buy. So So sales done correctly is really an elegant flow. It's actually easy for somebody like me. I'm in that Warren Buffett area where selling and sales is just one of the easiest things in the world. But I've been doing it for 30 years now, so I think I've developed a few insights. The last slide is, as you see there, that's my website and also my email and my phone number. And so I'm available at this point in time. What I always tell people right now is this is a time for us to connect with each other and to be as helpful as possible, okay? So I'm pretty much, you know, providing as much coaching and assistance as I can to people to get us through the pandemic and to be as good a help as I can, a buddy. And when we come out of this pandemic, then I'll come back to you and I'll say, okay, let's talk about some engagements. But right now is not a good time for me to be selling. Now, of course, if I worked for Michael Dell and everybody in the world needed more computers, I'd be in sell mode.
Go with the flow of the times.
Go with the flow. So what I'd like to do is start to wind it down here and see if there's any questions that I can help with.
We're going to open up the line in just about 30 seconds. I wanted to let you know first that we're going to be sending the slides and audio out to you in the next couple of days so you can share those with your sales team and start a discussion. The other thing is, before we open up the line, there's a lot of people that are attending today. Please put your phone on mute. Please do not put it on hold. If you put it on hold, we'll all have to listen to music, and we don't want to do that. So put your phone on mute, and then unmute it when you have a question for Pat. So hold the line for 1 second, and then we'll be right back. Okay, the line is now open. Any questions for Pat before he takes off for another meeting? Sometimes people have lots of questions. Other times it's silent. They're thinking. And the nice thing is if you have questions also and you don't want to talk about them today, then you can always email Patrick. You can see his contact information on the screen. And you'll also be getting this information another few days too. So any questions before Pat takes off? All's quiet.
Did you get anything in the chat box, Dina?
Yes. Yeah, throughout the program we got some questions that had come in. Well, you already answered those, so thank you for that.
Oh, I did?
Very,
okay.
Very thorough.
I took a little bit of a leap in this because I bridged in some thoughts from the Eastern world and from martial arts, and sometimes that's uncomfortable from people, but I think if we view them in the context of how you can become more successful in sales, but also for management. If you take a look at management, right, one of the classic objections to managers is they just don't listen to me, right? Well, that manager needs a little bit more help in creating a void. They need to be a little bit more silent. Let them buy. Oftentimes a manager will come to his employees and take a dogmatic, authoritarian view to say, you will do this, you will do that, right? Which creates resistance and is not definitely going with the flow. So a lot of these lessons apply to management as well as to the rank and file salespeople.
That's a good point. Well, I want to thank everybody for attending today. Pat, as always, thank you for being on Open Line again. You had some amazing ideas to share during this tough time. And again, I would encourage you to reach out to Pat if you have questions, because he'll be more than free to share ideas with you and to overcome whatever challenges your sales team is facing at this time during this very, very odd time in our history. So, Pat, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And our next program will be on April 28th. We'll be sending out notices about that. It's Open Line Special Panel Discussion on Laying People Off from an HR Perspective and Outplacement for Senior and General Staff. Hopefully none of you do have to lay off, but if it does come to that, or the PPP program doesn't come through because they're out of money, companies have to face these unfortunate things along the way, and we'll guide you along as how to do that in a safe and legal approach. All righty, have a great day, everybody, and thanks so much.